Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. But I will warn you, there's a bunch of you texters who are just trying to spoil my good mood today. It's not going to happen. You can try all you want. It's not going to happen.
Unfadeable, so please don't try to fade this.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm in the best mood ever because we're going to Vegas.
You're an unstoppable force right now.
I've had a great day. It's such a beautiful day outside, and I got a chance to go for a nice long run at Memorial this morning, and it was just a perfect day for it. And we're going to Vegas. Did I mention that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So, actually, I got a great week planned. We're going to Vegas. I'm coming back Saturday and going over to Delta Downs for the jackpot, which is their big race. I know a bunch of blitzers are going, so you guys will find me on the I'll be out there on the apron. And then Sunday's Whatever Fest, which is extremely cool. So I'm doing that. So I got a full stretch here. It's going to be fun.
I'm going to be in Vegas all weekend.
Yeah, I know. You're staying for the fight. I'm not going to do that. I want to get back for the races. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And there's a lot to get to, but obviously with the McHale news, if you missed any of the first hour, all available at podcastarena.com, full show podcasts. And if you wind up getting out of your car and want to keep listening, then you know what? Tune in radio, the ESPN radio app, or ESPN975.com.
Trying to figure out a hand signal way that works to say which caller we should go to next.
Yeah. Which one do you want to go to?
I was saying line one.
Okay.
Because it was topical on what we're discussing. But I don't know. Maybe we'll figure something out. Maybe we should discuss this off the air, how to figure it out. But
A lot of times we work this stuff
that
out.
That way we can avoid doing the having like that weird pause that we've been having.
Yeah. So what we
so
want
to hold up the finger to you. That way you'll know. And
just
and
make I'll, sure it's that finger.
I'll show Jong. And John can prepare that.
Yeah, and put Josh on so that we can go to Josh to lead it off in the 5 o'clock hour.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Sportsy.
I want to say I think Kevin McHale has elite talent, you know, as far as coaching abilities. But, I mean, if he can't get James Harden and those guys to play, then that's just on them. And also, AJ, I want to know, do you think that Ronda Rousey knockout was kind of like rigged or whatever?
No. I think that's the most foolish thing I've ever heard. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah. We're going to devote some time to that.
Listen, I understand that McHale's not getting the most out of these guys, but also understand Kevin McHale's not the one going out there chucking up bad threes. That's James Harden. So you can't – it's easy to blame the coach because, like I said at the beginning of the show, James Harden's not getting fired. So instead of whatever you want to do, and I think, you know, that interview that they had with Kevin McHale the other day where he said, you can't just sleep in till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You got to come in here and practice hard. That to me is a sign that this team is not giving their best efforts.
And here's another report for you from NBC Sports. Part of the discussion at the Rockets meeting, players meeting was, several players said, while players tried to keep details of the meeting private, two themes emerged. Three people told USA Today Sports, on condition of anonymity because of the sensitive nature of the situation, Harden's play and aloofness have frustrated teammates.
Yeah, that's what I was reading
and
earlier.
And McHale took the brunt of the blame for the team's play. Practices were not resulting in improved play in games.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Shocker. Harden seems aloof. Harden's got other things going on besides basketball in his life. That's surprising to who? Nobody. Crickets.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 713-780-ESPN. And you can read those better than I do. Which one do you want?
Let's go with Nick, who's on line three. Okay. Hello, Nick. Sports to you.
Hey, sports.
What's up, Nick?
Go, Nick.
Hey, sports to y'all.
Sports to you. Again.
I wanted to know, what do y'all think about Tom Thibodeau for the simple fact of the correlation between him and Bobby Valentine of the Red Sox? Before Bobby Valentine, they had a players coach, kind of a softie like Mikel. They brought in Valentine. He didn't work out, but he really set it up for their next coach. And I thought Thibodeau was kind of like that. And if worst case comes to worst and he can't straighten the team out, at least he sets it up for the next coach.
Listen, Tom Thibodeau, I think, is probably the best coach who's available sitting around. But there's a reason why the Bulls let go of Tom Thibodeau. He's not an easy guy to work with. Players don't necessarily like playing for him. He's a handful. He's the exact opposite of what Kevin McHale just was.
And that's what you see almost all the time when a coach gets fired. If you had a in football, if you had a defensive minded guy, you go out and get an offensive minded guy.
But also,
you had a player's coach, you go out and get a hard ass.
But don't you think that this Rockets team, the way they're built, and the reason they had the success they had last year is because they had a player's coach who kind of just let them go out there and freewheel it?
I don't know. I'd kind of like to see what a guy like that could do with them, simply because if he could get the same sort of results, yeah, getting them to buy in would be the hard part. I don't know that some of these guys have the defensive commitment that it would take.
But if Kevin McHale's tired of James Harden's crap, what do you think Tom Thibodeau is going to say about it?
You never know how a player is going to react to a guy. And that's why you do take chances like that, and that's why you do keep changing coaches. Is it maybe he comes in and the light comes on that, oh, I better play defense. Somebody asked, why were there so many cops in Memorial Park this morning? I don't know. There might have been a funeral or something. I actually meant
Fred
to look that up.
Someone.
No, I did not. Stop. But there were a bunch. Get out of here.
He was thinking about it.
I would
it,
never murder
he
anyone.
He was thinking
no,
about it.
No, I have friends that would kill people if I needed them to. So I would never murder anyone. There's no reason for that.
We'll get into the Rockets thing a little bit more later. And I think we've done enough on it today. But you know where I stand. I think that maybe they jumped the gun a little bit. But I think they also are in a situation where they've got the inmates running the asylum.
And that's not a good sign. But you know what? It's happened with a lot of NBA teams.
Yep.
Oh, Joe Biden was in town. That's what it was.
Ah.
Okay. I would be no threat to Joe Biden.
No.
In fact, of all the politicians out there, the one that I would least be interested in harming is Joe Biden.
Who would assassinator look to assassinate Joe Biden?
My goodness.
Like, what's he done?
There were cops like every 10 feet when I left the park this morning. And on both sides, and then so I didn't know what was going on, but that thank you for explaining that, Texter.
I guess it makes sense. You gotta be careful. Take every precaution.
We gotta look out. But I just can't imagine somebody saying I'm going to prove my love for Jodie Foster in this way. I just can't imagine it. All right, 713-780-ESP is your number. 713-780-3776. It is a What Are the Odds Wednesday, and there's a lot of other stuff to get to. I guess we'll find out about the Cy Young here pretty soon.
And should be pretty soon. We'll be in there.
Yeah, and obviously that would be some good news for Houston's fans.
We've got the rankings came out yesterday.
Yeah, we need to get to that.
You didn't hit that at all?
I mean, I have no problem with how the top of the rankings are. I still got to say, I know they shouldn't be. Not realistic to be in the playoff conversation, but Houston should not be 19th.
Yeah.
And they're going to get a chance. They'll beat Navy and they'll move past them.
Listen, how do you think North Carolina feels?
Well, that's the other team I was going to say. And North Carolina, to me, has played like a top 10 team.
I think that's a very unfair ranking for them. But, you know, the committee loves who they love. And North Carolina, I still believe if North Carolina wins out, they'll work their way in there, although They're running out of games. Yeah. They've got three games left, assuming they win these next two. Two of them aren't going to be fantastic wins. North Carolina State and Virginia Tech are both just kind of meh.
No,
I guess they're both road wins.
But you'd have Clemson.
You'd have that win over Clemson.
And theoretically, but if they have them this low, I mean, that's we'll talk about that when we come back. And we'll get some more calls as well. I think we're rocking it
out
for a while.
If Notre Dame is number four based on a loss to Clemson, North Carolina is going to have to be, they're going to have to be up there.
Yeah. I mean, well, we'll talk about it when we come back.
Okay.
It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Mockingbird, can't you see? Little girl got a hold on me like.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. From the Gauss Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Let's grab some more phone calls. Let's try Jones. Wants to weigh in on something that I wanted to get to this segment. What's up, Jones?
Yeah, of course.
Sports to you.
Yeah, I got a couple questions. Just one off topic, right quick. AJ, what are the odds that, if given 6 months with the Rousey fight, ectopic, what are the odds that a good boxer, could beat a good MMA fighter? But my question is, if Michigan wins the Big Ten and Stanford beats Notre Dame, what are the odds the Pac-12 does
it
have someone get in a playoff? Thank you.
If Michigan wins the Big Ten and Stanford beats Notre Dame, it'll be tough. It'll be between, because then that spot will be between Stanford and a Big 12 team.
And it just depends,
and Michigan,
on, and it just depends on what
and
happens.
And Michigan, I think that it depends on how Michigan wins the Big 12 or Big Ten, how impressive their wins are. I mean, that's the only way the door is open for Stanford, but it's unlikely at this point that Stanford gets there.
Yeah.
Too many crazy things have to happen.
And I do think some crazy things are still going to happen, but man, that's an awful lot.
That's a lot to hope for, man.
And I have no real issue with, you know, to me, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, 1, 2, 3, right? I think we all agree on that.
It's official.
Yes.
Dallas Keuchel is your 2015 Cy Young Award winner.
All right.
22 first-place votes. David Price comes in second with 8 first-place votes. So it wasn't really that close.
No, it wasn't as close as...
wasn't as close as the Rookie of the Year vote.
No, it wasn't.
So, congratulations.
It was funny. That goes to show that I still had pretty good sources in the business, though, because all the guys I went out and asked about, that was pretty much how they had it. And so I feel pretty good about that.
Third Cy Young winner in Astros history. Mike Scott, Roger Clemens, Dallas Keuchel.
That's a pretty good group.
It's so funny to think that, and then think that Nolan Ryan and J.R. Richard never won a Cy Young, when those are probably the two most dominant.
There was one year where I thought Nolan should have won it with a losing record, where he was just incredibly dominant, and there wasn't that. But there was also some guys who were having monster seasons back then, too. So a lot of it is, you know, who has the big season, and Keuchel certainly did it. He's deserving, and that's great. Astros get a Rookie of the Year. They get a Cy Young winner. Things are looking up for them. Did you ever think they would be the team having the most success in the city?
No. Who would have?
Yeah.
When you say that, you're lying. No,
yeah,
you
exactly.
Didn't think that.
Exactly. Sakhir Bilal, who apparently just got back from Manchester and London, said Texans win Monday night. Cougars are undefeated. Astros have a Cy Young winner. What are the odds Houston sports is on the upswing?
They just fired their coach today.
Basketball coach got fired today.
Yeah,
I don't know. The Texans, I still have to see more, and we've talked about that a lot yesterday. I need to see that defense show up again that we saw Monday night. But I think winning a Cy Young's a big deal, and I mean, it's to me, it's the second best award in baseball behind MVP. It's one of the premier awards. So that's a good thing.
There's 30 votes that get cast for this thing. Dallas Keuchel was either first or second on all 30. So that'll run you away with the award right there. 186 points, 22 first place votes, 8 second. David Price got every other first place vote. He got 8, 21 second place votes and 1 third place vote. The other second place vote went to Sonny Gray of the Athletics, who also got 24 third place votes. So the 1, 2, 3 were far and away the 1, 2, 3. Chris Sale, Chris Archer. That they ran out your top five. Wade Davis, who spent most of the year as a setup man for Kansas City, finishes sixth. Felix Hernandez, seventh. Colin McHugh, eighth.
Hey, got a vote.
He got 1 fourth-place vote and 3 fifth-place votes.
Nice.
5 points in the voting.
All right, well, you're always telling me what an idiot I am on things. You got to admit, I've been telling you for 2 months this is how the vote was going to go.
You did.
And that Keuchel was going to win and Price was going to be second.
Yeah.
So I'll pat myself on the back, damn it.
I didn't necessarily disagree with you. I kind of thought that Keuchel was going to win it.
I know, but you were really trying hard to make cases for the other guys. And
the season was still going on.
Well, even then, I was trying to tell you what the voters were telling me.
Yeah.
So, anyway. 713-780. Texans just signed Whedon. Of course, they're on the upswing. You know what I've noticed?
True.
You know what I've noticed about Whedon? It auto-corrects to Weeded.
Okay.
What does that tell you? Yeah, because everybody who's texting, there's a lot of Weededs in there. That'll tell you everything you know.
Yep.
Let's see. Who do we want to try here? You had a bunch of good What Are the Odds up there.
Yeah. You want to go with Jerry?
Yeah, let's go with Jerry.
All right, let's try Jerry.
Let's see what Jerry has for
us. Hey, sports, Jerry.
Sports, gentlemen.
Sports to you.
Go.
What are the odds that Charlie Strong gets fired from Texas or bails to Miami and Texas goes after Tom Herman, makes him an offer he can't refuse?
Well,
I'll hang up and listen.
Listen, this is probably going to piss Coug fan off, but if Texas makes you an offer, even if it's not, you know, the most money in the world, it's an offer to coach at Texas. That's a pretty good offer, no matter who it comes from. I mean, no matter who it goes to, that's a good offer. Texas, I think, is one of the five best jobs in college football. Of course, Tom Herman would accept it. I don't know if I don't think Charlie Strong's looking to leave the Miami. I don't think he wants to come here to Texas and be embarrassed for 2 years and then
I think,
run somewhere with his tail tucked. I don't think that's him.
Yeah, I think he
they're going to have to send him packing.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think, though, depending on what they do with the AD, they're probably going to give him another year. But it just depends on who you hire as AD. And I think, obviously, UH is trying to get Herman a nice, juicy extension, and there's money over there to do that. But, you know, the guy's going to be a hot name, and there's no question, and he should be. I mean, for what he's done, it's remarkable, but he's also going to be able to pick and choose. And if he doesn't want to do something this year, there's going to be a bunch of great jobs for him next year. And it all depends on what the guy wants to do.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Because I'm seeing here, Charlie Strong may be gone.
Really? Where's that from?
I don't know. There's a couple sites pulling it up. The Big Lead has something on it. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. It may be that's his way of getting out before the, you know. Yeah, we're going to get like 5,000 Tom Herman, what are the odds questions. What are the odds he goes to Missouri? What are the odds he goes to South Carolina? I think he's going to be able to do better than both of those jobs. So I don't want to put it on the ban list yet, but like, Texas to me seems like a legitimate one.
Yeah, a lot of people saying that Charlie Strong is resigning, but I don't know that that's the case.
Well, you've got some contacts, maybe.
I'll send a text.
Yeah, you fire a text off, and then maybe if there is something like that, maybe we can get somebody on and talk about it too. But man, congratulations to Dallas Keuchel and the Astros. I'm pretty pumped for those guys. That's a big award. But getting back to the rankings, and we talked about Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State. Those three, I think, should be top three. Fine with those. And really, four through nine, I think you can throw them all up in the air and pick somebody. And right now, they've got Notre Dame fourth, Iowa fifth, Okie State six, Oklahoma seven, Florida eight, Michigan State nine. The good news is for all these teams, they're going to have a chance to earn that spot. And we talked a lot yesterday about how you really can't afford to lose anymore if you're any of these guys. My only complaint, and yeah, I know I'm biased on this, but Houston being 19th, in this thing is too low.
And it is, especially because Memphis, who's now lost twice,
is 21.
Is 21.
Well, here's what bothers me.
And they have one win that is, you know, impressive. And it's not even as impressive as it used to be.
Well, and this, and it's going to play out, so it doesn't really matter. But how is Navy 16 with a loss when they haven't beaten anyone on their schedule that other than Memphis? And yeah, they beat Memphis more impressively than Houston did. But, I mean, they've beaten the same teams.
Yeah.
The only exception is Air Force. Oh, Colgate. Don't let me forget Colgate. They beat Colgate. And
I mean, I guess partly they're being rewarded for the Notre Dame game, which,
okay,
to me, I still don't think you put them ahead of an undefeated
that has
UH. But again, this is one of those things that let's file that in the it doesn't matter because these teams play and whoever wins is going to be ranked higher.
But it also just shows the perception here of some of these teams is kind of silly. I mean, if you really look at body of work and a win at Louisville, and by the way, that Vanderbilt win. I mean, yeah, that's not the cream of the crop of the SEC.
Yeah.
You looked at what they've done in every game but that one.
I do think
they beat Missouri. They get blown out by UH. They damn near beat Florida 9-7. Then they come back and beat Kentucky. So it's not like they beat a dog SEC team. They're not the best of the SEC by any stretch. So
they should be getting – listen, I do think Vanderbilt's one of the dogs in the SEC, but it's still an SEC team.
They are,
team.
But they're an SEC team that's playing pretty damn well.
At Louisville, it wasn't as good of a win as they'd hoped at the beginning of the year. But I do think they should get credit for playing both those games and winning both
of them. And again, like I said, I'm biased, so just take it for what it's worth. But Louisville's now third in the ACC Atlantic.
Yeah.
And not that you compare Houston to Clemson, but compare Clemson's win over Louisville to Houston's win over Louisville. They're very similar at Louisville, both of them. So, again, I just don't think they're taking into account those things. And, yeah, there are some donkeys on UH's schedule, but there's some donkeys on Navy's schedule, too.
Okay.
They have the same donkeys.
Here's the deal with Charlie Strong right now. Charlie Strong had a press conference, and basically the point of the press conference is Deontay Foreman is going to have finger surgery. Doesn't know when he's going to return. Jonathan Gray, still day-to-day. He's talking about injury updates and game planning for the Thanksgiving game. He's not leaving. Okay? He said the players have the right attitude, we'll give them Friday off and come back Saturday. Don't buy into Charlie Strong's leaving. I shouldn't have even given that any credence.
No. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. I'm going to get into some more coach talk in just a second. Jong, how you holding up in there, buddy? You going to make it?
No, I'm going to make it, but I've just been really busy because the intern misread her schedule.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Really?
I apologize for not having the names up there sooner.
Oh, that's all right. You're doing great. You're doing great. Actually, it's better than what an intern would do. So just tell her she's a fail, especially since you're sick. Do me a favor, though, when you go to the party tonight, I'm going to give you a couple names. Make sure you sneeze on them, okay?
No.
Just, you know, go ahead and spread the sheen. 713-780-ESPN. A couple things on coaching because, you know, I get Tom Herman's name is going to come up with everything. But here's some interesting things I just have a question for you because apparently there are some thoughts that Les Miles may be in trouble at LSU. And I would just say, boy, be careful what you wish for on that. I mean, that guy wins 10 games every year, 9-10 games, and every now and then has a chance at a national championship. I know that he doesn't throw the ball enough for people, and he's a little weird, but he's kept that program at a high level, and I think you make a change there. You damn well better get it right.
I agree.
I know everybody wants to win the national championship every single year.
You can't.
But there's only one Nick Saban, there's only one Urban Meyer, and everybody else is, if you can be in that hunt every now and then and be Les Miles and be Mike Gundy, you know what? That's pretty damn good for what your school is.
Yeah.
So I'm a little surprised by that. Here's another thing that kind of surprised me. And maybe you can explain this one to me.
Okay.
The Virginia Tech job.
Right.
Larry Fedora considered a strong candidate. Why would you leave North Carolina?
I mean, maybe they're going to throw a ton of money at him.
Maybe, but doesn't North Carolina have enough money to throw at you? And I, look, I know Virginia Tech has a better history as a program, but that's because of Frank Beamer.
Right, but you probably have a recruiting advantage at Virginia Tech over North Carolina. North Carolina is a basketball state. North Carolina, like, the whole state, basketball is always going to be the thing there. And that goes with every school in that state. Duke, same thing. They've built up a football program, but obviously it's a basketball place. Wake Forest, North Carolina State, all those schools are basketball first. Maybe Virginia Tech gives you a bit of a recruiting edge, but it doesn't make sense to me.
You know what? Mack Brown recruited pretty well at North Carolina, and Larry Fedora's obviously been recruiting pretty well at North Carolina. I think, you know, when you just look at ACC programs, what he's done there is pretty damn impressive. Why can't he keep doing it there, especially now that he's built it up?
I don't see why he couldn't.
And I know, like I said, I know Virginia Tech has got a better reputation because of Beamer, but why can't Fedora create that reputation in North Carolina?
Right.
That's all.
Well, I'm looking back, and God, they've played in 6 BCS bowl games since the BCS has been around, which I'm guessing is more than any other ACC school, maybe Florida State. But
that's all Frank Beamer.
Right.
And but what do we always say about a coach?
Yeah, but
coach
what, makes a program. When Mike Krzyzewski leaves Duke, do you think that's not a really good job to take?
I think it'll be a really good job, but I don't know that they'll stay Duke.
I don't know either, but I think, I mean, somebody's got to find out.
No,
right?
but my point is, if Larry Fedora's that good of a coach, he can do the same thing at North Carolina.
Maybe so.
I just think it's he's built a Beamer's built a nice program there, and they've won a lot of games. But why can't you just, if you've got the right coach, why can't you do the same thing in North Carolina?
And who knows? I mean, this may be Virginia Tech message boards putting that stuff out there.
Probably.
I mean,
and every school that's out there thinks they're going to get a bigger name than what they are.
Yeah.
For the with some, like if Georgia opens, okay, or LSU opens, those schools will be able to. That'll be different.
Speaking of college football, did you see that it looks like they're going to have to put in some 5-win football teams into
bowls.
Yeah,
I saw that. Oof.
And they don't know how to do the tiebreakers if it comes down to that. Like
they should do it the old school way. Whoever's going to bring the most fans. Cuz you got to pay for these things, right?
That's true.
But
So
5-7 Texas. If
that's good news. That's good news for 5-7 Texas. That'd be good news for 5-7 Nebraska.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I bet those schools would bring some fans to the right game.
Yeah.
Because they always do.
I mean,
I'd rather see that than 5-7 Utah State with Chucky Keaton.
Right.
Maybe that makes me, now I'm being the snob, but yeah, I think.
I don't know how they'll do it. I don't know how they'll do it, but I would think the bowls should just be allowed to pick.
Yeah, I agree. And I wouldn't worry about conference affiliation. You don't have to take the best 5-7 Big Ten team.
No.
Of course, that would be Nebraska, which wouldn't be bad. Nah, but it's probably going to happen. That's what happens when you have 80 teams playing in postseason games.
Yep.
There's just not going to be enough teams with winning records.
Aaron says, I know they aren't good and Seahawks coming off a loss, but plus 13 for the Niners. That seems curious to me.
That's a double-digit division dog.
It is.
I don't trust the Niners, but man, that double digit division dog thing has been gold. It really has, even when you don't really trust it. Because I didn't trust the Lions last week when I bet it. Never had a sweat.
I'm just trying to imagine what it's like to bet on Blaine Gabbert
against the Seahawks
going into Seattle.
Well, you know what? That's why the number's that big.
Yep. That's tough. I wouldn't fault you if you played it. And like RJ Bell says, the the best bets are typically the ones that are hardest to push the button on, and that one would be very difficult because Seattle is in desperation mode now.
Yeah,
and that's still Blaine Gabbert. I mean, Carson Palmer exposed that Seahawks defense in some ways.
Well, and they're a lot. Those guys are a lot alike. They're both tall.
No, they're actually they are nothing alike.
They're very similar.
No, you'd be surprised at how different those two guys are.
Tex said, "Hey Fred, sorry about interrupting your lunch today, but it was awesome to meet you. I always love it when people do that. It was great meeting you too, and I'm sorry I didn't have more time to talk, but I did have to take the wife to lunch because I'm gonna be out of town for a few days, and you know you got to give the illusion you care.
Oh come on, you care?
Do I?
Yeah, you should.
Okay, I do. You're right. So, man." Yeah, there's a great burger place we went to in the tunnel, man. There's some terrific places. That's a cool thing about her working downtown now is I can go meet her for lunch a couple times a week and finding all these new places. All right, we have a gym of the day when we come back. And we will squeeze in some more calls. The countdown to Vegas is getting close here. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report, presented by... Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We're having lunch out on Fridays. Each Friday, John and Raheel and Unfiltered will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Kick your weekend off right with ESPN 97.5. I was out there last week for Nick's 50th birthday party.
Nice.
It was a really good time. And I think we're going to be doing some stuff with them as well down the road. So, anyway, terrific place. And, yeah, I love the Blitzers, man. A bunch of them are sending me ideas for places to eat in the tunnel. And some of these places I haven't tried. So, appreciate that, guys.
Well... we got a guy who's been on hold for 45 minutes, Fred.
All right, well, let's do him before we do Gym of the Day.
This might as well be the Gym of the Day.
Who is it?
Let's go to Rob.
Okay.
Hello, Rob.
All right, guys. Cool. May the sports be with you.
Sports to you, Rob.
Hey, I got one of the odds. Case Keenum has a better day this week than a TJ Yates or if Hoyer plays Hoyer.
If
you know what, that's actually I gotta say this. Can I interrupt for just a second?
Sure.
That's not a bad Case Keenum question.
It's not the worst.
No.
What I will say for Case Keenum is, and someone asked me yesterday, who would you rather be right now, Rams fan with Case Keenum at quarterback or Texans fan with TJ Yates? And I said, well, I'd probably take Rams fan because Todd Gurley stands behind Case Keenum, and that's a nice thing to have. Even if you are, if you've got to have Case Keenum, it's nice to have Todd Gurley standing behind. And the Texans don't have that. The Rams are also playing against the Ravens, who I think are imminently beatable through the air. But it comes down to these Rams. If these receivers can get open, I mean, they don't have a lot of weapons. If it's Hoyer, I'll lean 60-40 Hoyer. If it's Yates, I'll lean 60-40 Keenum.
That's fair. And you know what? I'll be interested to see what Case can do. He played pretty well for the Texans last year at the end of the season. I've always said he could be a pretty good backup quarterback in the NFL, that his upside might be Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I think maybe that's too much now because Ryan Fitzpatrick's turned into a pretty good quarterback. Right. But we'll see how he does there. And they've got problems on that offensive line too, which – yeah, Gurley's been able to overcome, but Foles hasn't, so we'll see. And Case's thing is he's so small,
yeah,
and he takes a beating, and you wonder how long he can stay healthy, but we shall see. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
the gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Bannock Jeweler gym of the day.
All right. We're going to have a little Game of Thrones update, sort of.
Okay.
We have a George R. R. Martin update. Apparently, he was quite upset after the Giants lost to the Patriots. And I know he's a big Jets fan. I didn't realize he was a Giants fan, too. He wrote this on his blog. The victories were right there for the taking. So close I could taste them. But no, instead I had to choke down bitter defeats, along with a lot of pizzas. What's worse? Both teams lost the games in the same way, with truly inexplicable play calling when the game was on the line. Deep inside the opponent's territory, the goal line just a few feet ahead, the clock running down. All the Jets needed to do, all the G-men needed to do was run the ball, wind down the clock, make the opponent burn his final timeouts, then kick the winning field goal or score the winning touchdown. Instead, both the Jets and Giants chose to pass. Incompletion stopped the clock. The Jets did not manage to score at all. The Giants settled for a field goal and a lead, but left too much time for Tom Brady. I guess I couldn't hear me screaming at my TV set. He says, life is miserable and full of pain.
Sorry.
All right, first off, George, buddy, quit writing on your blog and go finish the damn book. Okay, we'll start with that. Number two, life is not miserable and full of pain. You know, try being a Texans fan. You think that's bad? And how can you root for the Jets and the Giants? That's like rooting for the Lannisters and the Starks.
That's very strange.
Shame.
Yes, I added the pizza part, by the way. Sorry, guys.
Don't fat shame, Fred.
I want the guy not to die. I want the books finished before he dies. And how many guys in their 60s that are that big do you see last very long?
Not very many.
Especially with all the stress of not writing your book. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jeweler's Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple here before the top. Let's go to Jason, who has a What Are the Odds for us. What is up, Mr. Jason?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, rumors kind of coming out of Waco that Jarrett Stidham may not play this weekend. With the committee not giving the Big 12 much credit, and that's kind of their own fault with their scheduling. Do you think that could hurt Oklahoma State if they beat them in Stillwater this weekend, that they couldn't get near as much – they wouldn't get near as much credit
Beating
Baylor.
I think if Oklahoma State wins out, Oklahoma State has nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I don't think they were going to get a lot of credit for Baylor anyway. I think beating Oklahoma is going to be the one that puts them over the top. And they obviously need to beat both.
But Oklahoma State's sitting in a spot now. I mean, they're sixth.
Yeah.
If they win their last two games, they're in. They're in.
And, yeah, keep in mind that somebody – in that mix ahead of them is going to lose out of Ohio State or Iowa.
But I'll say the same thing about Oklahoma State that I said about Baylor. And if they lose a game, they should be completely out of the conversation. When you play Central Michigan and UTSA and Central Arkansas non-conference, I don't feel bad for you if you lose a game and you get left out. I can't. So if Oklahoma State wins out, congratulations, they're probably getting in. I'd put that at 95%.
I think it's almost 100%.
If they do not, sorry.
And
well, the only reason I say 95% is because I think there will be a discussion of if Notre Dame wins out, an undefeated Big 12 team or a one-loss Notre Dame.
Yeah, although I still wonder if – in the end, Notre Dame's schedule's not going to look as good as we thought it did.
It doesn't matter. Their helmets look good.
Yeah, well, and if that's what they wind up falling back on with this committee, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Well, Fred, why else would North Carolina be sitting at 17?
Well, and that's I have a problem with that. I do, and I've said that earlier. North Carolina should be 10th. It should be in the top 10.
Yeah.
And they obviously have – there's obviously some bias built into this thing, which is fine, but – and I'll wait and see how it plays out. If North Carolina does win out and beats Clemson and you still don't have them close, then I have a real problem with it. Arietta wins the NL Cy Young. So
shocker. Well, I guess Greinke was pretty good.
Greinke was terrific.
Yeah,
but man. I don't know how close the voting was.
I bet it's closer than the AL was.
Hmm. Anyway, Jeremy asked who does Okie State jump if everyone ahead of them wins out? Well, everyone ahead of them can't win out because Iowa plays Ohio State.
Right. That's why I said the Notre Dame thing is going to what? That's where the 5% comes.
Yeah.
In.
Basically, it's Notre Dame, Clemson, or Alabama has to lose. I think Notre Dame could easily lose to Stanford. I mean, it still could get messed up in the Big Ten. There's a lot that can happen. But I'm pretty sure if they beat Oklahoma, that's going to be enough. I mean, yeah. Especially if Oklahoma stays right there at 7. And Oklahoma needs to keep winning, too. You need to beat Oklahoma at Bedlam. But I think they'll get in. All right, guys, got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. And you've heard me talk about how you can donate your vehicles to them. And you've heard me talk about what it does. And you've heard me talk about what Houston Can Academy is all about. And, guys, I'm just asking you to give away something you're not using and donate it, and you're going to get a tax deduction. They'll come and tow it. No matter where you are, if you can hear my voice, if you're over in Beaumont, in Lake Charles, Port Arthur, Vider, any of those places, or anywhere around Houston, and you got a vehicle that you're not using, just give them a call. They'll come and tow it free of charge, take care of the paperwork for you, and it's tax deductible. And where that money goes is to help kids at Houston Can Academy. And this is a place where kids have dropped out of school for a variety of reasons. And there's a lot of good kids that have gotten a second chance. And this is a school that works with them and helps graduate really, really talented young people. And that makes it better for all of us. And so they change lives. And when you change one life, you change 100 lives, maybe 1,000. And they're doing that every day. And you can do your part. It's that simple. All you got to do is pick up the phone and give them a call, and they'll come get that vehicle. And they're going to use it to help these kids out, whether it's food or transportation or any of the things they need. And your donation is really important. And it's easy. I've got a lot of friends who have done it now and told me just how easy it is to do, how they'll come and take care of everything, and it's quick. And you're helping kids and changing lives just by donating a vehicle. All you have to do is give them a call. 713-225-4226. Make sure you told them you heard about it on the Blitz, and you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. That's 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.